Tonight, as we'll have a few words together from the scriptures as we look to the close of this year. And I don't know about you as you're turning there to 2 Peter 3. Time is such a weird thing. I remember in many ways as a young kid, time being sometimes my enemy and sometimes my friend. And Peter's going to talk to us a little bit about time, and as we look to the third millennium that is about to begin here as it is marching across the United States, just what, some 46 minutes ago coming into New York. And it's moving. It's marching in this direction, and a day will have been completed, a day gone, a day passed. What is right now, I mean, think of it, what is right now futuristic to us is now historic in New York, in England. Did you watch the news at all this day? Did you see how, and I don't know if you're as sick as I am, but you know, ABC News began coverage at 1:45 this morning, then 4 a.m., you know, that little island, I can't even pronounce it. But I guess not surprised, but you know, America had to be at the right spot at the right time. Did you see where the captain of that one submarine, I forget its name, called from the submarine, called ABC News and talked to Peter Jennings. And what the captain did of the submarine is that on the international dateline there in the Pacific, he said 250 feet of the bow of the submarine in one day and parked the other 250 feet of the rear end. Is that the aft? Stern side, bow, front, stern, rear, right in the middle was the international dateline. So they could experience the changeover first. You know, and he's on the phone, you know, shooting his mouth off about, we were here first, you know, we were here first. Well, what an amazing thing if you think about it physically. Physically, the property of time. You know, time is a physical property. We forget that. It is literally, scientifically, a physical property. Time can be tampered with. We know this now through engineering. Time can be played with. We know from advanced mathematics that time, we can manipulate it. We can send a rocket or a spaceship into the realms of space and begin to tamper with time. Stanford University is showing us and telling us that time is now slowing down. It's running out of steam. It seems to be losing energy. Time, the ever constant property. So constant, time has been perceived for millenniums as being something like eternal. And yet we know now it's not. We know clearly that it's not. Yet the Bible has told us forever that it's a physical property and that it's fleeting. 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 3, Peter says, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust or interest, and saying, quote, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers have fallen asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they are willfully ignorant, Peter tells us, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then was existed, it perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now kept in place by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Verse 8. But beloved, that's us, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a millennium, and as a millennium is, so as it is one day under the Lord. Millennium. Greek for 1,000. 1,000 years. We enter the third millennium tonight. I hope and pray that before this year to come is up, that the Lord, I'm certain, will do a lot of wonderful things, but I am trusting and hoping that the Lord in His sovereign, awesome wisdom has this to be the last year that the church is on earth. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be awesome that this would be the year? Now, no man knows the day or the hour, of course not. But Paul said, concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you'll have no need that I should write unto you. Oh, Lord, come quickly. But time is a relative thing, dependent upon what and where we are, what we're going through, where we're at. Example, this last summer I cashed in some frequent flyer miles. And even though my mother was born and raised in Hawaii, we have family in Hawaii, my sister had been born in Hawaii, I'd never been. And because Delta Airlines was going to cover it, and we had family there, we took advantage of it and went free. And we had a great vacation, the best vacation I've ever had. And it was interesting because usually when you're having a great time, what happens when you're having fun? Time seems to what? Yeah, fly by. And yet, while we were there, an interesting thing happened. And I knew that people were praying. People actually prayed, we're going to ask the Lord that He elongates or lengthens or strengthens the time, the hours, that on your vacation it would seem like 2 days to one that you would have time. And God bless that. Why do I mention that? Because usually in our lives, when we're having a great time, time flies. I think of my own personal experience. I hated school. The only way I got through school is that the Lord has gifted me with somewhat of a photographic memory. And I'm able to look at something for a little bit of time and be able to keep it. Now, in my old age, that is wearing out, but I'm still grateful for the memory that I have. And I retain things. And so going through school, I hated school. I hated it. First of all, it was boring, except history. I thought history was awesome. Loved it. But everything else was boring. And I was so often in trouble. I was always caught looking out the window. And I'd have to take a note home. Jack is looking out the window. And I'd get scolded. And I'd get in all kinds of trouble. I was bored. And yet, thank God, you know, when test time came, I would regurgitate what they wanted as an answer. I remember even as a young child never believing in evolution, but giving them the right answer that they wanted, just, you know, spitting it up and putting it on the paper. And so there you go. But school, just for me, as soon as it started, it seemed like, and maybe you were like me, you looked at the first day of school, you looked and you asked this question to yourself or to the one next to you, when's school out? June something, right? And it seemed like, as a young child, school lasted somewhere between 5 to 10 years. 1 year seemed to be like 5 to 10 years long. Then it was summer vacation. And no sooner I got my shoes off and got my thongs on, not thong, but thongs. We used to call them something else. I forget. I should have used that word. Flip-flops? That's what we called them? My mom could barely speak English. She would say, tongs. Put your tongs on. Well, you know what I'm talking about. It seemed no sooner I got those things on and made a couple of trips to the beach that it was over. I would hear these words. Oh, it made me sick to my stomach. We have to go school clothes shopping next week. Why? Because you start school the day after. Oh, sickening feeling. And I, to this day, when you go into the store, to this day, when I smell new clothes, that picture comes to my mind. Up, school start. Hated it. Having fun all summer long seemed to go by in an instant, seemed to be passing by so very quickly. Unfortunately, now, the older that I get, you would think, well, maybe as you get older, when things aren't as often fun as you might seem, maybe more work than pleasure, that time seems to drag on again. No, there's a dirty trick that time plays. As you get older, it goes faster. You're not having necessarily any fun. In fact, it could, just be a terrible time or a great time. Doesn't matter. Time is racing. Here we are at the last few moments of not only a millennium, but of a century, certainly of a year. And it's going to be gone soon and time will have passed. And if you had a good time or not, you notice that in your mind's clock, your internal day timer upstairs in your head, it's somewhere around March of 99. It's not December, but it is December. It is the last few moments. And time races by. We get burdened with things to respond to. We get burdened with activity, with loads and things to do. And all of a sudden, we're behind the ball, so to speak, regarding time. It's unfair, it seems to me. The older I get, the more precious time becomes. I would rather now pay good money to save time. In our culture, I think time is more valuable than money. Ask our children if they would confess it or not. My kids would probably say, no, if I have a choice of your time or money, give me your money. Yeah, that might last for a moment, but internally, though they may or may not realize it, kids need our time. You know what? We need time. A civilization is judged, according to the ancient Greeks. The wealth and prosperity of a people is judged upon how much leisure time they have. The more wealthy and prosperous the Greeks would say that a nation is, the more leisure time they have. What in the world are we doing wrong? I heard today, like maybe you did, and maybe you saw the contraptions of devices that are soon to be out that give us that lie again. Remember, we were supposed to get cell phones that would save us time. We were supposed to get computers so we could do our work faster and have more time. We were supposed to have this thing and the other so that we could have more time. And it didn't work out that way. In fact, everything that's been created recently, I think, is somehow demonically energized. It sucks our time. It just absolutely consumes time like a black hole. James says in James 4:14, he says, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. That's what God says about our duration on earth. The scripture says roughly 70 years is what we've been granted. That sounds like a long time if you're young. In a couple of days, it's going to be my birthday. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want you to remind me about it. I don't want any party. I don't want any gifts. I don't want to know about it. I want to be in denial about it. Because time is going. Why is it inside of us? Don't you still feel 19 in your head? It's so strange. 19. 22 at the latest, at the oldest, 22. And I'll look at something, I go, I want to do that. And this week, our dog, I think he's about 12 or 13 years old. His cousin was over for a few days, who's only about 3 months old. And they were hanging out together, stayed a few nights together at our house. And you know, they say if you know, to help a dog out, an old dog, you get a puppy. And that's true. But you know what? What's also true is that when that puppy falls asleep, that old dog, he falls asleep too, man. And I've noticed now, since his cousin's gone home, he's limping around the house. It's like, you know, while the puppy was there, it was like, all right, let's go. But after the fun is over and the little guy goes home, you know, I'm not kidding today. I was thinking if I could maybe cut an Advil maybe down to quarter size and give it to my dog, he'd feel better. Why? Time is catching up to him. Time is catching up to us. I want to do something. And my mind says, come on, let's go. And I take off and I look behind and I can see my carcass dragging in the distance. I'm coming. I'm coming. And the cool thing about this, though, there is a redeeming thing about it. There are young people in here tonight who soon will be experiencing what you and I experience. And I rejoice in that. I love to hear my kids say, oh, I'm sore. Amen. All that exercise the other day hurt me. Yes, it does, doesn't it? The Bible says in Ephesians 5:16, Paul tells us there that we ought to be redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wow, as Christians tonight, we stand at an incredible moment of opportunity. We are here tonight. There are young people that could have been here tonight, but God has taken them home. In their natural course of life, you would have thought that they would have breached through the millennium and lived another 20 or 30 years. Do you know that we're here tonight, right now at this hour, by the absolute will of God? Did you know that? We've lived to this moment. God has made it so. And to those of us, and I trust tonight that we're all Christians tonight. Oh, it almost hurts me to say the word Christian. How sad of a world it is. I say Christian, and as soon as I say that word, you know, in Indonesia, there's a war taking place right now. And the news reported it today that there's tribes. And maybe you heard it. Tribes warring against one another on some of the islands there in the Indonesia area. And they're so backward, so to speak. So zero technological that they're fighting this war one with another with spears, bows and arrows and stones. And they're killing each other by the day. And they said that there are Christians and Muslims warring against one another. I get nervous now when I hear the world say Christian. Tomorrow will be the year 2000. Because in Bethlehem 2000 years ago, a Jew was born. And yet the world tonight, the world today, celebrating, skyrockets, presidents, kings, ministers of government, all over the world, celebrating like never before. Nations spending tens of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars for fireworks. All these things. For what? I didn't hear but once Jesus' name mentioned today. someone on ABC News, I don't know who it was, but someone said that the reason why it's the year 2000 is because of Jesus. They didn't say Christ, that's okay, but they said Jesus. And nobody mentioned, it was just a moment, and off they went. And the world is celebrating the millennium, having a great time, all because of Jesus Christ tonight. A couple of things I want you to just think about. You don't need to take notes. This is not that kind of an evening. Just want you to consider a few things concerning time and the fact that tonight, I hope you're a Christian. I hope that you're trusting in the blood of Jesus Christ, that time for you and I will have a godly work in our lives. Real quickly, understand this, that the times, plural, in which we live have been ordained by God. There's no getting around that. The times have been ordained by God. Who are you tonight? What are you tonight? The times that you and I live in have been ordained by God. Solomon wrote this concerning God's greatness in relation to time. Solomon said, I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing can be taken away from it. God does so that men will revere Him. Whatever is, has already been. And what will be, has been before. And God will call the present into account. He dwells in eternity. We are waiting for the millennium to arrive, and yet we, being on this end of the Pacific, it's going to expire in a few hours. It's going to hit Hawaii, and then it's over. It'll hit the international dateline. It'll be, you know, going in now to, on the opposite side of the world, it'll be the 2nd of January. Today, right now, it's already the 1st in China, in the afternoon, late afternoon. Yet we're looking forward to something futuristic still. It's coming. And this is an amazing thing. God knows everything in advance. He knows when you're going to die. He knew when you were to be born. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. The times that affect our lives. Oh, that seems short to me. Oh, that seemed long to me. God is governing over the very time in our lives. He's ordained it. You're here tonight. You have been kept for the changing of the millennium. I'm assuming we'll make it through for the next hour and a half or so. By God's power in ordination of times. In Isaiah 46 verse 9, Isaiah said, actually, God speaking through him. I love this. There's a sarcasm to it. He says, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do as I please. Oh, we look ahead to the future. God's already there. Do you know that? What's going to happen this year? Should God grant us the time to live this year 2000, what's going to happen? I can guarantee you this. People in our lives, people close to us, will be affected some way. Maybe by disease, maybe by death. It could be ourselves. Things will happen this year. How will you and I handle it? We are boasting already. The United States is boasting. They were boasting hours ago. Oh, the millennium bug. We beat it. It's fine. You know, we consulted all these nations and they've made it through just fine. And they were hooting and hollering about it until one guy said, now we need to have, well, hang on a minute. There's nobody working today. The computers basically are down because people have left their offices. We need to be careful. We're being over exuberant. And they shut that guy up and pushed him off to the side. That's bad PR, you know. And how amazing, I thought today, the world's made it through, and now as the millennium clock ticks across the Atlantic and hits the eastern seaboard, how embarrassing would it be for our country to break out in rioting? It hasn't happened anywhere else. The world's made it through. How embarrassing would it be to America if something went crazy in our system? I heard today on TV a commentator, a news anchor person, make fun of the mayor of Seattle for having canceled their New Year's Eve festivities because of possible terrorist activity. Well, look, nothing's going on. Everybody held their breath for a moment while the clock swept through Jerusalem, didn't they? In fact, right as it was sweeping, 2 minutes after it swept, my phone rang, and it was Tim Meaney. He goes, "Are you still there?" I said, "I'm here." He goes, "Yeah, I'm watching the news that just happened, just went through Israel, and I thought if anything was going to happen, you know, I'd want to be on the phone with you." I said, "Well, thank you, Tim. That's very nice. Very sweet of you." By the way, it's got to be the end of the world. It rained today. And I don't know where you were at, but in Chino Hills, it hailed tremendously today. It was wild. We had ice on the house and on the grass. Oh, Lord, what's going on? We prayed for rain, actually, yesterday. We said, "Lord, we need rain." We did in our house. We said, "God, we need rain." I was amazed. And so was every weatherman in the whole thing was freaking out today about where did this come from. God says, "I know it all, and I hold it all in my hands." I love that. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 4, God says, "Who has performed and accomplished it, calling forth the generations from the beginning? It is I, the Lord. I am the first and I am the last. I am He." Isn't that great? I love that. His great power and His great strength. And He governs time. He ordains time. In our lives, no matter what comes this year, God will have approved it before it comes. You mean even evil? You know what? Even evil. Does He want evil to fall upon us? No. But in His sovereignty and knowing that this world is fallen, we all know this, so does God. Yet He will have His day. And even if evil befalls us as a church, as a person, a family, a nation, God knows. Now, we may have to remind one another of this as the year unfolds. But God is the governor of history. And I think about history a little bit, and I jotted down some notes, and I don't know about you, but I safely can say I believe that in this room, there's none of us that really desire to have our names, emblazoned on a billboard or a sign or a marquee. That would be weird to me. And yet there's people who don't think they're making it until that happens. Oh, I got to see my name in lights. Or I've got to be under the lights. Or I've got to be whatever. And today on the news I saw, maybe you did as well again, this guy, I think I'm getting his name right, Ricky Skaggs. Is that a real guy? A musician. They asked him, I guess some song or some album or CD of his, in whatever kind of music he plays, he's number two in whatever he does. And they were talking about this on the news today. And they said, "How are you going to be spending the millennium?" And you know what his answer was? He said, "Well, my flying down to Charlotte or wherever he was going to be going. And he says, I'm going to pick up my wife. And we're going to be at a group of friends' house tonight with a lot of other people from our church. And we're going to be praying the millennium in. We're going to be enjoying ourselves in a prayer meeting for the millennium." And the news person says, "Oh, wow." She didn't know what to do. It's like, "Wow. We'll be right back right after this." And it's like, what? While the world gets drunk, while the world gets loaded, while the world gets plastered, or whatever you want to call it, while the world, in my opinion, celebrates something that I have to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Come on, man, let's go. Go where? Let's go down to the bar or wherever and get drunk. Why? It's the New Year. So? People look for an excuse. The times that God has ordained, we almost in the flesh, that is, we do our best to undo it all. Listen. I don't know. I don't think we'll go down in history. That's not for us to decide. But I thought about something. Even though we may not go down in history in this world, you know what? I want to go down in history in heaven. I want to go down with you in history, recorded in the annals of God's record, that we accomplish something for Him. And for that, we can redeem the time. We can get back the years that we spent wasting. Only God can do this in our lives. It's an amazing thing. And I thought today, I thought about something. Refusing. I am going to refuse to let time pass by without us affecting it for the kingdom of God. This is a night of rededication if you're a Christian. If you're not a Christian, you need to wake up and become one. But the fact is, we've got time, even if it's only tomorrow, to dedicate ourselves unto the Lord. And to follow Him like never before. And I thought about that today. And I'm going to give you some information here for a second. And I want you to think about this. And I'm not deifying someone, but I am going to give you some accurate history. First of all, never before in recorded church history has there ever been a founder of a movement or of a denomination who has seen the scope of ministry reach the scope that it has. Listen to these words. These are big words. The scope that it has globally in just 35 years' time, as Chuck Smith has. I don't know what your opinion of him is. Maybe some of you don't even know who he is. But Chuck Smith founded Calvary Chapel in Costa Mesa, and in a mere 35 years, there have been more churches created and more work established during his lifetime, while he's yet living, than any other person in pastoral duty in recorded church history in his lifetime. Charles Spurgeon saw most of his great works and accomplishments after he had died. He had to see it from heaven. The Wesleys, after they had died. Luther, after he had died. And I'm thinking how God, in these last days, can take a man and affect, by the gospel, so many people that there are now nearly 1,000 churches around the world. And of those churches in America, every year, ministries that have come out from him, these ministries are either the fastest growing ministries within a state, or they're in the top 5 or top 10 in America. How does that happen? It doesn't happen by determining, I'm going to set the time and the mood and the movement. It happens by a work of God. It happens by people saying, you know what, Lord, you want to do something? Here I am. What about you? What about me? In Esther 4:14, Mordecai says to Esther, who knows? but that you have come into the royal position for such a time as this. And who knows if you and I have not been kept for such a time as this. I guarantee you, you and I have been kept for such a time as this. My question to Chino Hills is, what are we going to do about it? You want to talk about Christianity? Let's have a conference and talk about Christianity. You know what? Get out of the way. Let's not talk about Christianity. The world's sick of hearing it. Let's show them a better way. You want to preach Christ? Walk the walk. This is a night that we can say, and you know the world's doing it right now, I promise never to eat a Krispy Kreme again. That's my New Year's resolution. That's hopeless. That's impossible. I will not go to In-N-Out Burger ever again. That's impossible. I know to not even make God those promises. I have coupons to both those establishments. Soon to have stock in them, you know. Don't make God any promises like that. But you can say, Lord, I promise this year to come that you, Lord, if you so choose, use me. I don't want to be a spectator to Christianity. May this be a non-spectator church. Years ago, Lisa and I, we drove down to Calvary Chapel of Capistrano Beach at that time. And a message was given, and I was blown away by the message. And that message that we were listening to, the pastor was talking about how, you know, we need to get committed. We need to revive our hearts toward the Lord. We need to do this. We need to do the other. Yes, because God has done all these things for us, we want to respond back to Him. And the pastor there was speaking, and he was saying, you know, we haven't had anybody show up for a prayer meeting. We haven't had anybody show up to help set up the chairs. We haven't had anybody. And you expect the pastor to do it all, he said. You expect the pastor to do it all. And I'm thinking, well, you know, what's wrong with that? And he went off on this thing, and it convicted me. And we were just visiting the church. I'm glad I didn't attend it. He said, I'll set up the chairs. I'll clean the windows. I'll do the parking. I'll do the ushering. I'll preach the message. I'll bury the dead. I'll marry your children. And I'll go to heaven for you too. It was, I mean, you know what he was saying. Wow. Now you can say, well, you just put a big burden on those people. That's kind of a manipulative tactic to use. Maybe it is. I don't think I could say those things, but then I'm not him and I'm not going to judge. But I know this, that the Lord can't stomach a spectator type church. He can't stomach it. He said to the, I'm drawing a blank. Who, the lukewarm guys. Laodicea. He said to them, you know, I wish that you were either hot or cold. Now, in our Western culture, we think hot is right on and cold is not knowing God at all. That's not what Jesus meant at all. Laodicea was right in the middle of Hierapolis and Colossae. Hierapolis had boiling waters and hot pools and, you know, nature's jacuzzis there. It's a wonderful place renewal, spas, and warm. People would come with their ailments. And then Colossae, on the other side of the valley, was known for its ice-cold, sparkling, clear water that gave you refreshment. And people would go to Hierapolis for strength in the heat, and then they would just travel, just a very brief walk over to Colossae, and they would enjoy the cool waters of Colossae. But the waters that flowed out of Colossae and the waters that flowed out of Hierapolis, they met at a place in one river there, and there happened to be a town there. And the town happened to have a church. And the church there was the church at Laodicea. The water was lukewarm. It was disgusting. You couldn't drink it to be revived, and you couldn't sit in it to be healed. Jesus says, I wish you were hot or cold, but you're lukewarm. Hey, if you've been lukewarm this year, you can chuck it now. You can get rid of it and say, man, I'm starting fresh. Don't waste your time about making promises about losing weight or the other thing. Do something that God's going to empower you to do. Lord, I dedicate my life, or I rededicate my life to you. Listen, we ought to be living in His presence. Be conscious of the fact that we can live in His presence and enjoy Him. Time. Living our lives in a time capsule, so to speak, of being God conscious. Conscious of His presence and of His desires and of His powers. Walking with Him. God has ordained the times, no doubt about it. We should be walking with Him in these times. Are we going to walk with Him in these times? Are we going to put our feelings behind the Word of God? Or are we going to have our emotions out front leading us along the way? Well, I know the Bible says this. No. God's Word first. According to the Bible, when it comes to this thing about time that's fleeting, we need to have vision. The Bible says that a people, Proverbs 29:18, who lack vision will perish. God wants to give us vision. In some of your Bibles, it's translated revelation. Do you have a revelation from God's Word? Is there something for this year, this millennium, this year 2000, is there something in the Word of God that is your vision? God is burning a passion. He's cooking things up in your heart. No matter who you are. Are you a Christian? If you're a Christian, I want to ask you tonight, and may the Lord echo this in your heart. May He ask you tonight. If you're my child, and my Scripture says that without vision, my people perish. What is your vision? What is your passion? Well, it's to make it through another year. You know what? That's not a vision, buddy. Do you have one? Christian, do you have a vision for the kingdom this year? Is there something that you want to accomplish for the kingdom of God? If you don't have something, ask Him. Lord, put a passion in my heart. From Your Word. May He burn it into our hearts. Another thing that I want you to consider, that we need to consider, is that the events have been appointed by God. The events of this life. Now listen. The things that have happened in your life, in my life, in history, it's in the blood. It's behind the cross. It's gone. I don't care if it's glories that you've done for God, great things, or it's a horrible childhood. It's gone. Are you a Christian? Oh, yeah. Your past is gone. It's hidden in Christ. Stop bringing it up. Also, on the positive side, well, I've done a lot of great things for God. Put it in the past. May we as a church never look back and say, remember when we had this or that, or this meeting or that meeting or the other? Man, I don't want to be a Christian of the past, even though time is fleeting. God is in control of all of the events, and He has been even before the day that you were born. You, the day that you were born, God had, so to speak, a chart. The Scripture says that He has established works that we should walk in them. I encourage you as a church, we as believers, to find that walk and that work that He has ordained for us. Concerning the current events, He's governing over the current events. You going to be able to use your ATM tomorrow? What if you can't? What if America is the only one somehow that blunders the Y2K deal? You'd have to laugh. But what if? He's in control of the current events. The world was shocked today when Boris Yeltsin went to the microphone to make his millennial address. He didn't do any of the above. He went to the microphone, he said, "Hello, I quit." And Boris Yeltsin quit being president. He quit, he went home. They had to appoint his understudy. What is that? Russia was in a state of, what? Clinton had to go on the air and make an announcement. And did God know? Oh, God knew. He's in control of current events. Hey, listen, the time is moving. It's ticking. Will nothing happen in the States tonight, or will something happen? Will the hostage situation in, was it Kansas or Texas? What's going to happen to that tonight? I don't know. But God knows. What's going to take place tomorrow? What's going to take place this year? God knows. The Scripture says, though the mountains be removed and cast into the sea, yet I'll trust in Him. Will we? The future events, God has appointed. He knows all about them. The future events. Today, the stock market closed at an all-time high. World's record. I was talking to a man recently that just in a matter of days made thousands and thousands of dollars. Thousands and thousands of dollars. And you look around and you read the papers and you see what's happening and you get the Business Weekly or you read it. And people, they were talking about how in the last, just this last 12 months, there have been more millionaires created in the last 12 months in America than at any other time. I'm not one of them, but maybe you are. I don't know. Next week's message will be on tithing. No, I'm kidding. Just joking. You know, what's going to happen to the market? I'm sorry, I hate to be a party pooper or poop on your party, one or the other. But the thing is, I just can't help but believe that. You know, these 7 years of plenty will be followed by maybe 7 years of leanness, and only the Josephs will survive. America's so fat tonight. We have money everywhere. and we end the millennium. In fact, the nations have agreed with Time magazine that America, it has been the century of America. That in the last 100 years, it's America's century. Interesting. Finally, this. The purposes of God have been decreed. God's going to do as He pleases. I don't know how that affects you, but that kind of excites me. Because you know what? He knows all about it globally. He's decreed it globally. He's going to do a work. Nationally, He has decreed His availability to us. You know the passage, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If His people will humble themselves and seek His face, pray and depart from their wickedness, then He will hear from heaven and heal our land. He's available. He's decreed this. Will we avail ourselves of Him this year? That's to be seen. Personally, He has decreed for us life. Will we choose it? Will we dedicate our lives to Him? I think we should. I think we should rededicate. I think we should be ready. There are things going on in the world that are absolutely radical. I was amazed, as you were possibly tonight or today, to see the news and how the references to the global village that we live in and that we're all one. And people, and even the President Clinton said, when asked, what do you think is the greatest hope that we can hope for the new millennium? And, you know, not to our surprise, but according to Scripture, he was accurate by saying in the end times, he said two things, peace and prosperity. Prophetically, that's exactly how the world's going to be duped into a global government. It says in Daniel, by peace and prosperity. Not more education or a greater thing, peace and prosperity. There's nothing wrong with peace and prosperity. It's how it's brought about could be disastrous. And for what motive? For what reason? Tonight, I want to give you the opportunity to use this night as a night to rededicate your lives unto the Lord. I don't know how serious you take that. The choice is yours. There's people in here that have been listening. There's people in here that haven't been listening. Maybe you had to be here. That's unfortunate. But you're here now. And are you going to be serious about God? As this year starts, it's my heartfelt desire and prayer and belief that God wants to do and is going to do great things. Great things. But will you and I stomach and endure the opposition or the demands that God would place upon us? Because it's coming. The demands are coming because God wants to do a great thing. He'll prepare us for a work that He wants to do. I want you to know that not only myself, but there are others praying for you, for this place. Lord, shake it like a tree, like the wind that blows through a tree. Shake it. Cause the fruit to grow and the nuts to fall out of it. Shake it. And what about our youth? May they get serious for God instead of playing goofball and pass the note and foot tag or whatever. Get serious for Him. You know, youth, I want to be different. I want to be different. Then be a Christian. I want to be unique. Follow Jesus. I want to be unique. Follow Christ. Cracks me up. The poor cesspool that youth gets sucked into. They want to be unique, but they all look exactly alike. And they all do exactly what somebody does. Let's follow Christ this year like never before. I've been praying a prayer, and I'll share it with you. I have been asking the Lord to extract, move away, pull out. Bodies in this church that are just like spiritually hitchhiking. You know what I mean? May God, if necessary, shrink this church before He ever grows it up anymore. May the carnal Christian tonight get right with God or go away. May the pretender decide tonight or vanish from the scene. But you know what, people? And I'm done. These are critical days. Normal people, professing Christians, I don't know if they're Christians or not, they say they are snapping. And doing things of the world. I'm not talking about tripping up and sinning. I'm talking about deciding to change their lifestyle and still hold the Bible in their hand. That's impossible. It's impossible. Let's pray tonight. Let's pray now. We might dedicate our lives unto the Lord tonight. Father, we ask, Lord, in Jesus' name, that You'd forgive us of our sin. Father, I pray that You would cause us to be right with You tonight. Lord, no one needs to know what might be going on in someone else's life in this building. But tonight, from all of us, may there be private confession made unto You. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that You would shake this house. And Lord, that You might find here a people able to be used for Your work, for Your will, for Your kingdom, while time remains. Jesus, You warned us that night is soon coming when no man can work. Father, I pray tonight, as Lord, as I rededicate my life to You, I ask You, Jesus, to change the schedule of my life. I ask You to invade my daily activities, to interrupt me. I ask You, Lord, to renew private time with You. to enjoy you more. Lord Jesus, before your angels and before your people, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. And Lord, to accept this poor offering of what I am, that you might, Lord, find me able to use, that your will might be done in my life and through my life. Tonight, where you're at, pray to him. He stands tonight ready to receive your cry. Father, we worship you. Lord Jesus, we ask you that at this moment you might take our lives and completely sanctify them to your use. Father, may we revel in your power and in your strength and your ability to forgive. Lord, in Jesus' name.